Two out of three is bad, actually, Chris. It's a failing grade.
No, it's not.
It's a 66. Apparently, in some
schools... Which is
schools,
a failing grade.
In some school districts, that's like a D.
Yeah, well, the phrase is C's get degrees, not D's.
D's also get degrees.
You know what else D's get?
What?
Nuts.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
No.
I knew
Man.
It.
Get it? Nope. D's nuts?
Yeah.
Yep.
You ain't slick. We got it.
I don't know if you caught that.
We caught it.
Catch D's nuts if you keep it up.
That's a threat.
Rude, Chris.
It's a baby threat.
You know, Chris, you keep that up, and I'm going to buy Babylon's Fall for you to play, and you're going to have to play it.
Oh, that's awful.
Which one's Babylon's Fall?
The lowest rated game in quite some time. The new Square Enix game by Platinum.
Oh, no. I haven't heard about this one.
Is it that bad?
It's the lowest reviewed exclusive of this gen since Godfall.
Wow.
I feel really bad for games right now since Elden Ring has come out, and it's just been taken over my existence.
Yeah, you know that meme about the mom teaching her kid to swim, and then there's another kid drowning, and then there's a body at the bottom of the lake? Someone made that for Elden Ring, Dying Light, and Horizon. And
for what?
Elden Ring, Dying Light, and Horizon.
What about it? I didn't hear the first part.
Oh, you know that meme of the mom teaching her kid to swim?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm feeling really bad for Horizon because I don't hear anyone talk about it because it's all, oh, la-di-da, Elden Ring's this and blah.
Not me. Elden Ring can suck a big old chode. I'm platinuming Horizon.
Yeah, you and I are the only ones playing Horizon at the moment.
I've seen the meme lots of times where it's like Horizon just literally can't catch a break. Horizon 1 launched alongside a week from Breath of the Wild. And now Horizon 2 launched a week away from Elden Ring. And both times it was like, this game's pushing the boundaries of what an open world can be. And Horizon just like, that's cool. I mean, I'm still going to sell millions of copies and be a fucking delight. Like,
I'm still a great game.
Yeah. Still scored super high and will definitely be in my top 10 for the year. You know it won't be? What? Elden Ring.
You haven't even
Because I'm never going to play it.
Why?
Why are you not going to play Elden Ring?
I have no interest in it, dude. I don't like Souls games. And Elden Ring
my God.
Does nothing.
Right now, as we're on this podcast.
Okay, and... you know what I'm going to play after I finish Horizon?
Triangle
Strategy. You know what I'm going to play after Triangle Strategy?
Dying Light 2.
No, I already played that. There's a game hidden Xbox that I've been waiting to play for a long time. It's an indie game, kind of like Zelda, an isometric Zelda, with a little fox called Tunic.
Yep.
And it's hitting Game Pass, so that's even better. So I'm gonna play Tunic next, and then after Tunic, you know what I'm gonna play?
What?
The fucking new Kirby game is gonna be dropping, so I'm gonna play that and just do some. Some vor.
Yeah.
Look.
Eat a car.
Wow.
You know what I'm going to do after that? I don't know yet, but it won't be Elden Ring.
Wow.
Josh, That's were so you cool. aware of how bitter he was about Elden Ring?
He was really bitter about Elden Ring. I don't understand why.
Oh, look. It's not bitterness. If it's something you don't particularly care about, but it's all anyone will talk about around you, you just start to entrench yourself in the anti side of it, just to be feel it's something.
Like, God, I know that with Naruto.
Now you love Naruto.
I love Naruto now, but I did that for a long time.
Josh does it with Dokken Battle.
But yeah,
Josh
I do.
Secretly loves it. We know.
I love it.
He's gonna weigh a lot on us.
Yeah, I enjoy the fact that you guys just go ham on, like, our text message about Dokken Battle, and I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys' effort.
Josh, we do it for you. We're not doing it for us.
You know.
It's important to know what Matt's power level is with the profile.
True.
What is really Matt's power level? Is that the real thing?
Yeah, that was. I mean, they just released that feature today.
A solid mil.
Is that good? That's a million. Does that mean that you're over 10,000?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's how numbers work.
It means that I play this game way too much.
You need friends.
I honestly think if you compile the amount of time I've spent on Dokken Battle, no game in my life has ever been played more, and I count all the MMOs.
Yeah, you were playing it when I saw you during Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's insane to think the amount of time you've put into Dokken Battle.
Josh, I try not to think about how much time I put into Dokken Battle.
Yeah, if you start trying to quantify it, it's just going to make your head hurt and your heart sad.
The second they say, hey, here's your completed playtime in Dokken Battle for all the stuff you've done, I'm never clicking that link.
Yeah, if they're like, hey, click here for all the stats about your account, including total playtime, I'm going to be like, nah, I'm good.
No, I'm good.
No, thank you. Because if you tell me that, and it's a number that's big as I think it is, I might shoot myself for not having done something more productive.
I'm in the four digits of hours. Easy.
Yeah.
I mean, I've surpassed 1,000 hours. PC, all right. No, Josh.
1,000 hours.
That
over, like,
sounds
6 years.
Bad, right? That sounds. It's bad, right?
It sounds really bad.
Okay, but that's 6.5 years. Actually, a little more. So if you find out that in days, it's roughly 2,375 days, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So then you divide that by, say, 1,000, and that means I've only played on average 2.3 hours a day.
That's not bad. That's not better.
That's not better,
given how dry some of the months have been.
Wait, no, I did that wrong.
Okay,
1,000 hours divided by the amount of days. There we go.
Now I'm afraid.
Boys, it's not as bad as you think.
Oh, it's bad.
Okay. But, you know, video games are back in session.
Less than half an hour a day.
See, that's a little more reasonable. That's like an episode of television.
Yeah. And the fact that I can play it while watching an episode of television, it's very rarely like the only thing I'm doing. It's always there as a multitask.
Yeah.
I'm watching TV. I'm waiting for something to load. I'm in the bathroom. I'm at work at my desk, and ever since auto mode, oh man, I'm link leveling like crazy while I work. It's great.
Auto mode is very nice for the working professional who enjoys Dokken Battle.
Exactly. So auto I guess mode. My point is, I think the amount of time, if it was just me playing Dokken Battle, nothing else, I my time would be so much less.
Yeah.
But it's the perfect, like, bite-sized thing. Like, it's like a mini Switch in and of itself, where it's like, oh, I only have a couple minutes. Let's do a round of Dokken Battle.
And that's a thing I think some most mobile games just don't get. Because every time there's been, like the Naruto game or the My Hero game, they're always way more involved. And that's not what I want in a mobile game. I want a game that's pretty non-brain intensive.
That's Dokken Battle.
Yes.
Yeah. Dokken Battle is mindless fun.
Yeah. And the My Hero game, you have to do building the dorms, and you actually have to control the fighting, and it's like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. No, like that is, I think, what makes Dokken Battle last so long, plus the IP. The fact that Dragon Ball is still going.
Yeah.
Like that's why the fact that we have a new movie coming out.
It's true.
And the manga is still going. Like, Dokken hasn't even touched the manga stuff. Like, if they wanted to, they could get a bunch of more years out of just characters and evolutions and attacks that have been introduced in the manga. Like, let me tell you, Vegeta has his own Ultra Instinct now, Chris.
Ooh, I like that.
It's called Ultra Ego. Because Ultra Instinct is an angel technique, right? So Vegeta's like, F that, I'm going to learn something different. And he got trained by Beerus.
Oh, he could be the new god of destruction.
Goku mastered Ultra Instinct with Whis, but Vegeta decided to learn how to be fucking dope as hell from Beerus. So that's Ultra Ego awesome. Is pretty dope.
So Josh, when are you going to come see the movie with us?
I don't know. I can't even pack. Oh, man. That was a lot to take in. That was like the first portion of our podcast was talking about Dokken Battle and F Elden Ring.
Well, now you bring up a good point because video games are back. February was a great month for games.
February was a disgusting month for games. Elden Ring, Dying Light, Horizon, and then like right after that. So, I mean, we talked about this before. Like, it was the big next gen Cyberpunk patch finally hit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like the next gen Cyberpunk, Destiny 2, The Witch Queen, which is being called the best Destiny expansion around.
Look, there's
Final Fantasy 6 Pixel Remaster. That's the real champion.
There's not enough time to play all these games.
And then, honestly. Well, that's the sign of a good year. Because March is coming out swinging, too. Gran Turismo 7 just hit. Triangle Strategy just dropped. Then we got Chocobo GP, which I don't care, but Final Fantasy Mario Kart, I'm all about it. Then you know what comes out next week? Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin.
Oh,
the most grim, dark, dope. And then for Josh, the and probably Chris too, because he's big in horror games now. The horror first person shooter game Ghostwire Tokyo that was supposed to be Evil Within 3.
Done. I just don't have
dropping time. The same day as Kirby and the same day as Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
God, this is a good period.
And then you know what the first week of April is? MLB The Show 22. And Chrono Cross Radical Dreamers.
Cool.
Jeez, I'm just saying, fam. Getting cray-cray up in this piece.
You're not playing a game. Don't know what you're doing.
So two big game announcements for October dropped.
Yeah.
By all means, yeah.
Forspoken.
Good news.
Forspoken got delayed till October. Which is probably, you know what, if that's what they need to do to make that game good, awesome, because I'm very excited for it.
But that's good news, actually. It needed to be delayed.
I agree.
How heavy the lineup is.
And then Gotham Knights, the new co-op game by Warner Brothers Montreal, the creators of Arkham Origins, is dropping in October as well.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Hey, Chris, you know what's coming out in August?
What's that?
Saints Row.
Oh, yeah. End of the year shaping up pretty good. I'm still not 100% on that Arkham Knights thing, but...
Me either.
I have to play it first.
Hey, I'm uploading a file to our thing so you guys can see fucking Vegeta being dope.
That's cool as shit. Josh, you going to get that on your back?
Yeah!
I don't have any room on my back, honestly.
Wow, you got enough room for this. This is not that big.
Hey, Chris, what are things Kate says a lot?
Oh, no. What? I gotta hear this.
All right, let's hear it, bud.
No, you said it's not that big.
Oh.
And I said, I jeopardied it. What are things Kate says in the bedroom?
Oh, Matt. Really?
Oh, really, Matt? Are we 12?
Constantly.
Yeah.
Do you expect anything
12.
Else from me?
So
yeah, you're right.
So let's wrap about the games. So let's go in order of the big three. Dying Light 2. Matt and I both played. Josh did not play, I don't believe.
Did not play.
Yeah, I played it. It's I did not finish it. It just kind of petered out on me. Unfortunately, Horizon showed up to eat its lunch. Mm-hmm. I got to review it, though, so I got to play it like a week before everyone else, which made me feel fancy.
Yeah, it's totally fine. I didn't love the story.
Yeah, that was the worst part. Like, my open world experience needs a good story, and Dying Lights just wasn't. The Dying Light lived and breathed on how good its parkour and like traversal felt, and it did. It nailed it. Like, I hadn't felt that good running around in first person since the first Mirror's Edge.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, Mirror's Edge.
And then it, once again, the best games all have grappling hooks and gliders. It's, you know, true. What else has a grappling hook and a glider?
It's Horizon. Horizon Far West, which Forbidden I am also West, playing. Fam. I'm also playing, and it's also really great.
Really great. Love it. This is it's so good. Also, it fixed two of my biggest problems with Horizon 1. Mm-hmm. The first being that it takes so long to... The first one took a long time to get going. Like, you really didn't get immersed in the what happened to the world plot line until, like, halfway through the game when you finish all the Sun King bullshit. And then it's like, oh, yeah, let's learn what happened to the world. This game starts off pretty freaking strong. It's like, okay, things are going to shit. We need to find a backup of Gaia. All right, let's go to this embassy thing. Oh no, everything's terrible. Now the game has begun.
All right.
That was one of my big problems with the first one. Not really a problem, but it impacts when you go back and replay things. You're like, oh man, this beginning is so slow.
It's not a problem, but it is a criticism. I mean,
yeah. Scary. And then my other problem is the first game, melee combat sucked. Anything involving your staff was just pretty blah. But this game added a whole new tech tree called the Warrior Tech Tree, which gives you all these really cool combos, and melee combat's actually incredibly viable against human and robots. So it makes it so that it's not just a game about a bow. Everything is viable now, and I like it. I like all the new tech paths where you have warrior, you have trapping, you have stealth, you have machine takeovers, and you have like potions. So there's like all these different like skill trees. It just feels good.
Yeah, as someone who never finished the first Horizon, I will say that I really appreciated the intro, which kind of explained the plot of the last one. But I also do get the sense that, especially when they're like, "Hey, Aaron, it's good to see you." I do get the sense, like, probably would have enjoyed this interaction if I played that first game.
Yeah. No, like the back 30% of Horizon is probably some of the best video game plot I've ever experienced. Mm-hmm. I recommend, Chris, you go back and watch a recap or something.
Yeah, I've got a long play that I'm going to start up.
Okay.
But I thoroughly enjoy the world. I'm having a great time, and I really appreciate how densely packed the world of Horizons, because it feels like you can't go 5 feet without running into something. Whether it's a race, a hunt, a tower, an enemy base, a cauldron, a fireplace, wild dinosaurs, you know.
I love all the fireplaces. I thought they're super generous about travel points in this game.
Yeah, they really are.
They're like, we don't care. Like, we'll put two fucking things 10 seconds apart from one another. We don't give a shit. Look, whatever's guys, easiest for you.
Look, guys, we know there's a giant apex alligator over there that will kill you.
Yeah.
So let's just make a fireplace, and you guys can just deal with it on your own.
Yeah.
Which brings us to Josh. Josh, tell us about the Elden Ring and why it's in Ohio.
Yeah, why is it in Ohio?
What does Ohio mean?
There's a big meme going around that the map of Elden Ring is actually just the map of Ohio. Therefore, Elden Ring actually takes place in Ohio.
I'll have to check that out. But let's actually talk about the key feature to this game, which I think is the... I think this is probably the best feature of this game, is that there's nothing on the map. You just have to explore. This game is built and it's ready for you to explore it. You can set map markers, you can set things up, but you don't have any checklists. There's no checklist to go down. You have to keep track of your side quests. You have to know your surroundings very well. The map's beautiful too. It looks like a hand-drawn like medieval fantasy map. It is great and it is large. This game is, oh my god, that's hilarious.
I just put that in the chat for all of our listeners.
This game is large. It's not Ohio. I'm looking at the map right now.
That's Ohio.
Wikipedia says Ohio, and I'm inclined to believe Wikipedia.
It lies. The game's great. Also, it's... Look, you have to like the Souls game series to really appreciate this game. But I think a person who is not really a major like Souls game or Soulsborne games can still appreciate this game for what it's doing. This is a really refreshing open world game because the checklists are too much. The map marker style map crowdedness is too much. I was playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla and there was a point where I was just like, there's just too much to do. I know this game has a lot to do, but it's not telling me what I need to do. So I can just take my time in an area and explore. And if something's too hard, I can place a marker saying, this thing's going to just mess me up. So I go and explore and I go level up and I go find something or I find a new spell or I find a new sword. And then I was like, all right, I can take this on. There's just something really refreshing and rewarding about how there is no checklist and there's no like.
Josh, I need the dopamine rush of clicking icons off my map. Like, what is even the point of an open world game? That's why, you know what, I'm not even going to lie. This is going to sound blasphemous. But when that meme went around about the, what if Ubisoft made Elden Ring?
Oh, Jesus.
Did you see that?
No,
I didn't.
Okay, hold on. I'm grabbing it right now for you. I was like, I actually kind of prefer that. I want that in my life. So there you go. If Ubisoft made Elden Ring.
Oh no. No.
Oh, that's hideous. I love it.
That's hideous. That is.
Press X to activate Tarnished Sense.
That is. Yeah. That's hideous. No, it's just so great having like. Things only pop up when you on your map. It's just, you know, it's this beautiful like Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, but Josh, new items are available at the Elden Shop. I could purchase the Kingslayer set from Game of Thrones and become the true Golden Lord for only $9.99.
Oh my god. It's look.
That's so gross.
It's so gross. It's look. I think Elden Ring is an amazing step for video games. And sometimes these games come around where you start realizing it's like, all right, game developers are getting it. A change is needed. And I feel like we're going to see more games that are going to just treat the player with respect in a way. It's like, no, you go discover this world. This is the playground. We don't have to tell you where to go. Go find the things. Go find what we've created. And I think that respects the player more than just littering the whole map with like icons to go to. It's like that becomes a chore. This is
Like, I am an adult with a child. I do not have time to meticulously explore. Tell me where to go so I can enjoy my game and move on.
I will say, Josh, that while I am 95% on Matt's side in that I also would like checkpoints and where to go, there's something very nice about what you're describing of just having this map that you can just kind of explore at your own pace.
Yeah, I'm just giving him shit. There are definite bonuses.
If I can pause for 1 second to go back to Horizon, I really hate the checkpoint system where it tells you to follow the footsteps to a certain point and then moves the checkpoint a little further. I hate it. I walked in a circle for like a couple of minutes last night because it got stuck, I guess. So, anyway, Josh, is it harder than previous Souls?
So, this is the gauge, right? This is a tough gauge to really tell, because if you're a constant Souls player, and let's say you finish Demon's Souls, the remake, 5 times in a span of a month, the game's not that hard. There's some challenging battles, and you have to be smart about it, or you're going to definitely just get your ass handed to you every time. And there's some really tough things where you're not going to take on a large group. and they will swarm you. You will have points where you're like exploring, and next thing you know, you're like, oh, cool, I can take this one guy on. And then another guy sees you fight this guy, and he calls on all the other guys in the camp to come mess you up. And you're like, all right, I can't take all of these guys on. That sounds awful. But you know what I'm saying. there's some nice challenges in it. There's a good, there's a solid difficulty to it. It's not Dark Souls, I'll tell you that. But it's more Bloodborne. So the combat's fast. The combat's a lot of fun. Magic still is the best option. There's a lot of great things happening in this game, and I advise people who really like open world games to just give it a try. Wait for it to hit sale, because usually it will. And play it and enjoy it. The game deserves a lot of respect, and it's getting glowing reviews, and there's a reason why it's getting glowing reviews. And you know, there are a lot of games out there, and there's a lot of content out there, especially for video games, but at this very moment, I think this is a game to really sink your teeth into, because it just has so much to offer. And it just keeps you engaged in the game, because you want to explore more and more and more, because it's not laid out for you. And you discover the story as you go. You discover these characters. And it's just, I don't know, I think it's a very beautiful game, and I think the combat is so well polished. I love this game developer.
Well, I'm just excited that they announced that they're doing a sci-fi Souls game next using the Armored Core franchise, which has always been my dream.
So I have one more question for you, Josh, in regard to the Elden Ring. The big hype of this is George R. R. Martin writing the story and not finishing his book because he's very busy writing the story to Elden Ring. Is it worth it to have George R. R. Martin write the story for this?
You know, I haven't really, like, felt his presence there. There's a lot of, like, I feel like it's not like, you know how Dark Souls, there's not really a lot of story happening? Mm-hmm. And you're kind of just like, okay, I just accept this world as it is. There's a little more story happening. Characters explain the world a little more. And you can kind of feel his presence is there, but it's not like, it's like, oh man, this is done by the Game of Thrones guy. It's not that. It's just like, it's there. You just, it's not as like, it's like drinking a La Croix.
Like, the hint of a plot.
There's a hint of, yeah, there's a hint of Martin there. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. I accept it. But there's some amazing creature design and some horrifying creature design in this game. So I don't know.
Have you seen the GIF of the extending penis monster?
No.
Excuse me? The who?
Hold on.
Man, we've learned that Matt's meme and GIF game is at, like, peak.
Yeah, he's very strong today.
Yeah, you guys, not my fault you guys aren't hip.
It's true, I'm not hip.
I still can't get over the Ubisoft one if they did it. It's just...
It's such a good one.
Man, it is so good. It's the best. It's just a disaster.
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I... Glowing praise for this game. And if it's the only game I play this year, I would be very satisfied.
Well, at the rate you're going, it might be the only game you play this year.
It might be. Honestly, it might be the only game besides, like, Triangle Strategy, and that's it.
Live Alive?
And Live Alive, yeah.
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 Okay, hold on.
And the Ninja Turtles collection.
Oh my god, I can't even... I'm so excited about the Ninja
Turtles. Well, you know what? That's a perfect segue. Let's talk about the State of Play stuff.
State of Play.
Yeah.
So, Square Enix just dumped a whole bunch of stuff on us.
Yeah, we're going to kind of rapid fire this. There wasn't, like, there's a couple things to talk about, but for the most part, we didn't really see too much. It was a bunch of stuff crammed into just 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, first, Capcom announced a brand new game called Exo Primal, which just looks like Overwatch meets Dino Crisis.
Yeah, they should have made it Dino Crisis.
Returnal is getting a co-op mode.
Yeah, a new update for it.
We got a trio of trailers for games we already knew. Forspoken, Ghostwire Tokyo, and Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin. The latter of which got a new trailer that came out, a demo that came out today.
There are so many demos for that game. I think they feel good about it.
Gundam Evolution, a free-to-play multiplayer shooter, is coming to PS4 and PS5. The big one for us, well, here's the game for Chris, a game called Gigabash.
Basically
Gigabash. Godzilla War of the Monsters.
Love it. I didn't see that one, but it's great.
Go look at the trailer, Gigabash.
Okay.
And then JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is getting a brand new fighting game again, the first time since the PS3 back in 2013.
Man, JoJo.
Kids love JoJo.
And then we're getting a really atmospheric as hell side-scrolling game that takes place in Japan called Trek to Yomi.
Which looks really interesting.
I really thought it was a Ghost of Tsushima like spinoff initially.
It's made by Flying Hog, the people that did Shadow Warrior and Bullet Storm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of the problem is every samurai game that comes out now is going to be...
Yeah, exactly.
Compared to Ghost of Tsushima in some way.
So one of the biggest announcements, at least for us in our age range, is the Ninja Turtles Cowabunga Collection. 13 classic Ninja Turtles games from 8-bit and 16-bit consoles. So I'm going to read the list, because some of them are really hype. Like, I was not expecting them to ever be brought back. So, original arcade Ninja Turtles. Turtles in Time arcade. The Dark Souls of Ninja Turtles games, Ninja Turtles NES. Then Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game for NES. Then Ninja Turtles 3, the Manhattan Project for NES. And then Ninja Turtles 4, Turtles in Time, for the Super Nintendo version. And then here's the thing that I never thought coming. We're getting all three versions of Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters, which was the Street Fighter style fighting game featuring Ninja Turtles characters, the NES, the Super NES, and the Sega Genesis one. That was such a big deal because the Super Nintendo and the Genesis versions of that game had entirely different rosters. It was not just like, here's the same game on a different console. They were objectively different games made by different studios featuring different characters. And I had the Genesis one, and my friend had the Super Nintendo one. And it was hold on, Chris. I'm gonna pull it up. All right, I'm gonna read you the list.
Please.
Okay. All right. That roster. I'm pulling up Genesis. And I'm gonna pull up SNES. And I mean, you typically have a decent understanding of Ninja Turtles lore, right?
Yeah, of course.
So the characters in the Super Nintendo version are Leonardo,
of course,
Raphael,
wow,
Donatello, Michelangelo, Cyber Shredder,
interesting,
War, a monstrous purple creature with big claws, and one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse from the comic books.
Okay.
Asuka, a ninja girl. Who made her first and only appearance in the franchise. She was inspired by Mitsu from the film Ninja Turtles 3, Turtles in Time, or whatever.
Yeah.
Chrome Dome, an android from the cartoon.
Right.
Wingnut, the humanoid alien bat from the comic series and also in the cartoon.
Yep.
Armagon, a mutant shark from the cartoon.
Don't remember that one, but okay.
And Fake Brother. Who is never mind. He's only part of the story. And then the bosses are Rat King and Karai, the female leader of the Shredder Elite.
Yeah, she was in the CGI movie.
Correct. Now, The Super Nintendo one, or the, I'm sorry, the Sega Genesis one has, hold on, that is not a list of the roster. There yeah, we go. Okay. The roster for Genesis, Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael, Michelangelo, Casey Jones, which how did the other one not have Casey Jones?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Okay. Yeah, Casey Jones, April O'Neil, a debut character called Ray Fillet, and he's a mutant manta ray.
That's funny.
And a character named Sisyphus, who is a giant stag beetle.
Oh, weird. That's funny. Weird.
Yeah. And then the bosses are Triceraton, Krang, Karai, and Shredder.
So the Genesis didn't have a lot of playable characters.
It did, because they had clone characters, which were slightly different, but for the most part, no. The Genesis had less characters, but I remember having way more fun with that one.
That seems to be like the classic thing, like for non-RPGs. The Genesis had fewer but more fun.
Yeah. So after that, we have Hyperstone Heist for Genesis, and then the three Game Boy games: Follow the Foot Clan, Back from the Sewers, and Radical Rescue. So Ninja Turtles gonna be dope as hell.
Honestly, and then, those are the things I'm the most interested in, the Game Boy games, because when they make these collections, they never mention the handhelds.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Game Boy games are a big one, and they're pretty good.
Actually. I don't expect them to be good or to hold up, but I appreciate that they're being collected.
Exactly. They're there as to be like part of history. So the last two games that were announced, the first one was a brand new Valkyrie game from the Valkyrie Profile series, but redone as an action RPG, Valkyrie Elysium.
Which looks
interesting. But the big game for us is one part Final Fantasy Tactics, one part Fire Emblem, a brand new strategy RPG from the makers of Final Fantasy Tactics called The Dio Field Chronicle.
Really sucks for a triangle strategy, eh?
Not really, because this is for PlayStation and Triangle Strategy is for Switch. So very different audiences.
Well, good for everyone who enjoys those strategy games.
See, we're just in a fucking renaissance of strategy RPGs, and it just makes me so happy. Like, they're getting the budget and the marketing and the love they deserve.
Yeah, they are.
It's true. That was kind of a dead genre for a bit.
For a long time, man. Like, let it be said that one of the biggest reasons for the resurgence is fucking Mario and Rabbids.
Let that
sink in. It makes me so happy. Okay, I'm still searching for this. I randomly saw this stupid thing on Elden Ring on Twitter, but I don't remember who I saw it on. It was just on the timeline. So I'm having trouble finding it again, but I'm gonna.
You're gonna.
It's gonna be great.
I believe
you're gonna.
Anyway, so that's State of Play.
Yeah, I always appreciate a little State of Play when it comes out.
They're never as good as Nintendo Directs.
No.
But whatever. It's still fun to see a rapid-fire announcement of games.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And it's really interesting to see the amount of Square Enix games that are on the list.
However, a lot of people were expecting Final Fantasy 16, but then I wasn't, because Final Fantasy 16 is not going to get a 3-minute segment on a State of Play. It's going to get its own dedicated deep dive.
Isn't that E3? Aren't we going to see that at E3?
Sure, buddy.
Yeah.
There is no E3, though.
At the beginning of June,
there is no
trailer dump.
Yeah. We know it's coming. More info is coming later this year, so it'll happen.
Yeah. Matt, you know what we need to talk about, and I don't think Josh can join us for this.
Batman?
The Batman.
Well, we can't, because all I'll say is it's real good. But you know what else was just announced earlier today? Just like Peacemaker was spawned from Suicide Squad, HBO Max is getting its own Penguin series following the events of The Batman, and it's going to be done with the same love and care that Peacemaker was. And you know what? I'm all about it. If every time DC makes a movie, we end up with an HBO Max spinoff. Like, after Black Adam, if they said, like, and now introducing the Hawkman and Dr. Fate franchise, I'm like, yes, give it to me.
That seems like that would be a good strategy, honestly.
Well, considering how popular Peacemaker was.
Peacemaker fucking crushed it.
Yeah, but you have to have James Gunn-level people behind it.
Oh, so they announced who was behind it. You might know more than me. Hold on, give me a second. All right, here we go. Matt Reeves, the director of the movie, is directing the show.
That's pretty good. Wow, that's pretty good. Yeah.
So yeah, just like Peacemaker, you have the creator of the movie make the creator of the show, so it has the same vibes and appeal.
I say that's a really good move by Warner Brothers.
I agree.
Yeah. I will also say that the Batman is very good. Josh, you will also say the Batman is very good when you get to it.
I feel like it. I've never really disliked a Batman movie other than Batman and Robin. But, man. That's
sometimes,
all I can say. Batman
sometimes I kind of
perversely
like Batman and Robin.
Like, it's from a different time. That's all we can say. That part of the 90s was a weird time.
Well, we didn't know how anything was working anymore.
No. What a weird time. Soundtracks were selling, you know, movies. Eh?
Yeah.
Comic book movies had soundtracks that they had to sell.
Well, there were only like 3 comic book movies in the 90s.
Blade?
Yeah.
Yeah. Batman.
What else?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Batman and then Superman. No, we didn't even get one in the 90s, did we?
No.
No, we didn't get one in the 90s. I think there were other superhero movies.
You're right, Steel. That's it.
Steel.
Steel was there. Shaq was Steel.
Yeah. Back when he thought he could get away with acting.
Well, he still thinks he can get away with acting.
Yeah, but he's acting with the general now, so that's a different ball game entirely.
Oh, and Papa John's. Don't forget, like, I think he now, like, runs Papa John's,
yeah,
like, whatever.
He's the new Papa. He's Big Papa. Big Papa Shaq.
I love you guys.
Well, it's better than racist-ass Papa John.
Yeah. An upgrade.
Let's see. Is there anything else that we want to cover before we wrap up for this week?
Nah.
No comics, Matt?
Let's see. Devil's Reign continues to be amazing.
Yes.
I'm not loving X Lives of Wolverine, the one where it deals with him going through the past fighting Omega Red.
Yeah.
But X Deaths of Wolverine, where it is following Moira after she's been depowered, trying not to die. Have you read the new issue?
I have not read the most recent issue, no.
Can I tell you something from it anyway?
Yeah.
You know how Moira gets back on Krakoa even though she can't use the gates?
No.
She calls Banshee, and she's like, oh, man, I need your help. And he's like, what? And she kills him and wears his skin.
Ew.
Oh, my God.
As a suit.
So Moira's really going supervillain.
Yes, because then we found out that Moira ends up being the reason the machines win in the future.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's all because of fucking Destiny.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? It's nice that we have Destiny in a book because we haven't had Destiny for a very long time.
But you know what? You were right. The interaction between Destiny and Gambit was just delightful.
Chef's kiss. Very good.
But yeah, I mean, let's see. Other comic stuff that, I mean, Saga's back and it's like it never skipped a beat.
Nope.
You know,
Saga's
like,
still great.
We had a huge time skip and I'm still in denial that Marco is dead, but I mean, I just got to deal with the fact that he is, and it sucks because he was so cool.
I know.
And I'm not gonna care about spoilers because that was literally 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Do I have anything comics wise? Not really. I'm excited for the Dark Crisis coming from DC in a couple of months.
Yeah.
Chip Zdarsky taking over Batman proper is very exciting.
Yep.
Everything else is good for the most part.
I'm trying to think. Hold on. Hold the fizzone.
I do slightly disagree because I do like X, the Wolverine book in the past. I kind of like that as a time travel conceit.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I just compared to how much I enjoy X deaths.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've noticed that, I don't know if you've noticed, Chris, but I'm not entirely against it, that DC has shifted away for the most part from long running series and are instead doing like lots of little 12 issue maxi series.
Yes, and I love it.
So right now the ones I'm reading like are One Star Squadron, I'm reading Blue and Gold, the new Booster Gold Blue Beetle thing. But I've really been enjoying their like kind of not one-offs, but if they're popular, they'll probably never be one-offs, you know, kind of like Deceased was really good. And now we've got DC versus Vampires that I'm really enjoying. And you've got Tom Taylor doing Dark Knights of Steel, which is DC, but in the King Arthur age. Mm-hmm. And Tom King is just the king of it all with Human Target. Then he did Rorschach, and before that he did Mr. Miracle and Strange Adventures. And now he's got a new Batman story out called Batman Killing Time. Did you read issue one?
Of Killing Time? No, not yet.
Ooh, I highly recommend it. That might have been the best debut issue of a Batman story I've read in a long time.
That's not bad.
So also, Static. Static Shock has his own series again, and that makes me happy as hell.
Yeah, I really liked all the Milestone season ones.
Yeah. I'm all about it, fam. But yeah, I've been digging them doing these smaller run books because I can, if it's a character I really like, I can commit to 6 to 12 issues without having to worry about like, oh, it's going to run 80 plus issues. And what if I get tired of it after they switch creative teams, you know, that's just going to feel weird. Well, but yeah.
Yeah, that's always been one of my thoughts. Like, people are talking like comics are dying. How do we save the comics industry? And I think this is the way to do it, is to just make like mini series and get them trades out.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they've been doing it for a while. Because remember Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen and the Lois Lane?
Yeah.
Both of those end up having 12-issue series. And they've been doing the White Knight, Batman White Knight, which has been amazing.
Yeah.
They're about to do their fourth one of that.
And the other thing that I've always thought comics should do is they should delve into webcomics. And they've done that. Have you been reading the Wayne Family Adventures?
No, I heard it's good though.
It is good, and it's kind of the right thing. Like, it's just a pretty base all ages Batman comic that is officially put out. Nice. Apparently, it does well.
Awesome.
So, yeah, that's kind of the only ways to fix comics at this point.
Yeah.
Josh, do you have anything comics related to add in?
I just always wait for trades.
Good man.
And I read the trades. I don't have time to go to comic book shops anymore. I don't even know they exist in my area. They do. I know they exist.
They do.
Cool.
Remember, good time. Kids, support your local comic book shops.
Yes. Don't be like Josh. Buy floppy issues.
Yeah. Or we'll just wait for the trade.
No, Josh. Don't be like Josh. Buy floppy issues. Don't be like me. I don't buy floppy issues because I don't have the space for them.
Be like me and buy them all.
Matt buys all the floppy issues.
Floppy.
One day they're going to bury you, and then Anna will have to deal with the aftermath.
Poor Anna.
But poor Anna, yeah. Nothing. She'll make what, 50 cents a book on that?
Probably more.
Hopefully. That's the point of a comic collection is the one day hope that it's not gonna be sold for pennies on the book.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right, well, we'll be back at some point soon. Talk about some games and more comics. And good job, guys. Everyone, have a good night.
Good night, people.
Yay, good night.